Have you ever thought about, got it, you ever thought about what if you could know our Creator? What if you could know the Creator, the one who made us? What if you could have all the questions answered in life that you really want to know? The three main questions that mankind's wondered for years: where did I come from? Why am I here? And where am I going? I mean, what if you could know that? I'm laying in bed. I pray, like, Lord, do you want me to preach? Because Sue's been preaching. I said, do you want me to preach? If you anytime, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. So I'm laying in bed this morning, and it's four something, and God, like, wakes me up, giving me this sermon, and I'm like, okay, Lord, I guess you do. And I got to thinking about when I met God, and I was 20 years and 9 days old when I met Jesus. And I had money. I mean, I was a drug dealer. I was had made thousands of dollars a week. I had all kinds of things. I had graduated high school. Had started going to college. I had my life in front of me. I owned things, had a lot of people in my life. But as I was growing up and up to that point, it was like, what is life about? Why am I here? And it's like, there's got to be more to life than what I'm seeing. And it's not just me, but it's like I'm looking at everybody. And it's like people seem to not be happy. They seem to not be fulfilled. They seem to have all these problems. And it's not like when you have Jesus, you don't have problems. But it's like it's different. I love that Shepherd Psalm where he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The footsteps we see. It's not us being religious and trying to carry God. It's us in a relationship saying, I can't do this. I need you. And he carries us. He wants to become our daddy. Start off becoming a creation of God. We are created by God and we're in this world, but we're not His children. Not everybody is a child of God. The Bible teaches that we become children of God as we put our faith in the Lord Jesus. But before that, we're a creation of God. We're in His kingdom. But you have rebels and you have people that talk against the king and people that don't have anything to do with the king. In that kingdom. But there's rules in their life. You look and it's like their life is always going hard. What's amazing is when you become His child and the more you cooperate and the more you follow Him in His way laid out so simply that my grandkids can do it. It's like first you become His child and I have a different relationship with my dad than I have with my neighbor. My neighbor, he may be my neighbor, but he doesn't meet my needs or take care of me or pray for me or care for me or spend holidays with me. But my dad does. And that's what happens when you get born again, is you get to enter into a perfect family, which is God. Now we're the imperfect part of that family. Okay. But he invites us into His family. And so imagine, because this is what happened with me. I meet Jesus. Like I said, I'm 20 years, 9 days old. And I meet Jesus. And in a very short time, I said to Him this. Because He reminded me that I said this to Him. He reminded me about this about 10 years ago or 5 years ago, whatever it was, that I said this to Him. He said, Harvey, you remember when you met me? I go, oh yeah. And he said, and I told you, you kept saying you wanted to do something for me, and I kept telling you, Harvey, all I want is you. I don't want you to do something for me. All I want is you. And I said, yeah. And he said, remember when you said to me, okay, look, everything I knew up till now wasn't working. Everything I knew up till now wasn't working. So I'm going to give you my life. I'm going to take everything in my life, like where I make my decisions, my mindsets, my belief systems, my opinions, what I've been taught, what I think is right, where I make my decisions from. And Father said, you remember what you did, Harv? He said, you brought me your life and you laid it at my feet and said, Jesus, I want to lay my life, everything I think I know or have been taught or experienced, and I want to lay it at your feet. And I believe that I can trust you to sort through it. Now, if there's any truth in this, according to you, I can trust you to give it back to me. But I don't even want any mixture, Jesus. I only want what you say is true, because I just met you, and it's been a few months now, and I've never met anybody like you. And your ways are perfect, and it transcends, it's beyond anything I've ever experienced in my life, or anyone. So I'm laying all my life down and saying, I want to start all over. Can you imagine starting your life over at ground zero? And that's what I did. I said, here's my life. I said, everything I think I know or have been taught or experienced, I said, I could be wrong about it, even if I think I'm right, because I always think I'm right. And I said, I will lay it down, and I want you to sort through it. But I want to go from this point forward with your life and what you say is the truth and what you say of how to live. Whether I understand it or not, forget my old life. I'm putting it in your hands. And from that moment forward, as I cooperated and followed God, immediately, within 6 months, he brought Sue in my life. And I had had relationships, but nothing. I was always getting hurt. Now, y'all probably haven't had that happen, but with me, I've had that happen in relationships. Because the hardest thing I think we'll ever do is relationships. But it's the only thing that's most important, because when somebody dies and you go to a cemetery, people don't take a U-Haul. What they take with them is relationships, and that's denoted by the cars following. You go in there. That's what's important. That's where we need to spend our time and energy. We spend our time and energy on so much that's not important. Temporary. So I'd been hurt. And I met Jesus, and immediately he said to me, you need to get married. And I said, I'm afraid to get married. I said, I've never seen a good marriage. And my folks have been married and divorced each other twice. And I'm like, there's got to be something else, Lord. And he's like, you need to get married. And I said, well, I don't know how to pick her. So you pick her for me. And I was in Tennessee, and I was from Florida, and I met Sue, who was from Michigan, out in Phoenix. Now, that was God. It wasn't me. I didn't know how to do it. I wasn't on some dating site or something. I just followed what God put in my life. And that's what I'm saying. And then, when I met her, she's like, we ought to go back to Michigan. You can get a good job there. And we came to Michigan, and we got in church, because we had talked about that. And I said, yeah, after I met him, I want to go to his house, but it just hasn't worked out. And she's like, well, that's what I'm going to do is get in his house. So when we came to Michigan, I got in church and got planted. And step by step, God baby steps, stepped me right from where I was at into what he wanted me to be. And into what he wanted me to do. And into who to associate with and who not to associate with. And it's like, I can look back at my life and it was just like, just constantly getting closer to Jesus, more like him, less troubles. I'm not saying there's no troubles, but I'm saying it's completely different. It's like running an engine without oil. So running life without Jesus or having the oil of God in your life, which makes everything run smoother and last longer. So imagine you start your life all over again. Imagine. In John chapter 3, I want to read this. It's what God woke me up, given me. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, and he was a ruler of the Jews. That's what the Pharisees were, rulers in the Jewish nation, spiritual rulers. The same man came to Jesus by night and said unto Jesus, Rabbi or Master, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man could do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not, don't be amazed, that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now this guy Nicodemus, I'm going to call him Nick, he was a leader of the true religion, of the true God. Of the whole earth, he was a leader. He knew the scriptures. He knew the written word, but he didn't know the living word. And Jesus is the living word. We're going to see that in another passage in a minute. And he knew that Jesus was a teacher come from God. Nick had a teacher sent to him from God. Because though he was a teacher, he needed to learn something. And Jesus said in verse 3, which is my life's verse, it's my favorite verse in the whole Bible. It's what God told me, it was my verse. Truly, truly, I say unto thee, Nick, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, he needed Jesus to help him understand the basics. Now here's a guy that is he has a doctorate, if we could call it that. He had a doctorate in religion. He was a spiritual leader of a whole nation, one of the leaders of the leaders. And Jesus said, you can't see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. And he says, you really haven't even got started with God yet. But he didn't say it that way. But this is what he was basically saying. And Nicodemus says, well, wait a minute. How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and get born? You see, here's this guy trying to understand things with his head and not understanding. He's an older man. He wasn't a spring chicken. He had been around, and he's a teacher, and he had studied. When I went to Israel, the Jews carry around, there's so many of them, there's about 20% of them that are zealots for God, and they wear black clothing, black hats, all have long beards. They have like little, whatever you call this thing, is like curls coming down beside them. And they walk around, or they, wherever they're going, they carry the scripture and they read it over and over, and they're memorizing scripture all the time. And you see it. When I was in Israel, I saw it everywhere. I saw it when I was riding the bus. I saw it when I drove down the street and saw them walking. I mean, they're like carrying around scripture all the time doing this. And he was a leader of them. He had to know more than they did. And Jesus says, how can a man be born when he's old? And Jesus says, well, let me make this real simple for you. I think that's kind of funny. Hey, Dr. Nick, let me make this real simple for you. He says in verse 5, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. First he said you can't see it. Now he says you can't even enter if you're not born again. And Nick's still standing there scratching his head. So Jesus says, look, watch. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You see, there's two births, Nick. There is a physical birth where a woman, when she's pregnant, this is in the flesh, this is how all of us came into this world. Nobody was fell out of the back of a truck or found under a cabbage leaf. I'm just letting you know. And you didn't evolve from a monkey, okay? I'm letting you know how it really happened. Your mommy carried you around in her belly. I'm sorry if nobody told you this before. And when it was time for you to get born, that water that encased you to keep you comfortable, that water broke. Whoosh, and now she's got water running down her legs. Okay? And then you get birthed. You come out. Because that's the process. And it happens with every person on the planet. So Jesus says, you got to be born again. And he goes, okay, I don't get it. And Jesus said, okay, watch. You're already alive physically, but you're dead spiritually. That's why you don't want to go to church. That's why you don't want to read the Bible. That's why you don't have anything to do with God, because you're dead spiritually. You're alive this way, but you're not alive this way. He says, you're alive physically. He said, but what I'm talking about is for you to become alive this way, spiritually. And then he says this, verse 7, you must, he said, don't be amazed at this, but I'm telling you, you must be born again. And then in verse 8, he says basically this. See, did I write that? It says, I'm putting it in my words, as you cannot explain the wind, where it come from, nor where it goes, neither can one explain the working in the heart by the Spirit of God. When somebody gets born again, or things happen to you from God, you want to tell everybody, but you don't even know how to put it in words. Right? Right? Like, you try and tell them, and you're like, well, I wish I could tell you better, and all I know is, it was God, you know? And I find myself saying that all the time. It was God! I can't explain God. His workings are way beyond me. In Ecclesiastes 11:5, the verse says this, as thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. God's ways are way above us. Now turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse 1. We'll read through verse 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same, or He, was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended or understood it not. Look at verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power or authority or the right to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but they were born of God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt or lived among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's go back to verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I want you to notice that the Word is God. The Word is the Creator, and His name is Jesus. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh. I like this illustration that God gave me, or this little story. I'll tell you real quick. He said, Harvey, He said, I made everybody in My image, everybody on the planet. He said, I started in Genesis, and I created people in My image. And I put them on the planet, and I said, okay, here's what you can do. Here's what you shouldn't do. And I put it in their hearts. He said, boy, did they mess it up. They did everything but what I said. So He said, after a few thoughts, He said, I gave them some rules to, so they wouldn't hurt each other, called Ten Commandments. He said, they still hurt one another, even when they're keeping the laws, even when they're doing it, they're not doing it with the right attitude usually. So He said, after a few thousand years of giving them space, dealing with them, talking to them, but they're still messed it up, He said, look, here's what I'm going to do, guys. He said, I made you in My image. He said, now I'm going to make Myself God in your image. I'm going to become one of you. So God put His life inside of the womb of a virgin and was born. And the reason He had to do that of a virgin, have you ever thought why? Because sin is in the blood. And every person on the planet has sin in their life. Well, when a man and a woman come together, and the woman becomes pregnant and a child is born, that child has the blood of the Father, because the blood comes from the Father. So Jesus could not have an earthly father. He had to have a heavenly father, because if He had an earthly father, He'd have sin in His blood. So He did not sin. He had no sin. Because if He had sin, He'd have to pay for His own sin. Okay? So He didn't sin. So God says, I'm going to make Myself in your image. Puts Himself inside of a virgin. 9 months go by. Her water breaks. Here we go. Got a little guy. And we're going to name him Jesus. And he grew up. Now he was different than other kids because he didn't have an attitude. I mean, you could change him, feed him, clothe him. Get Winnie the Pooh spinning over his head. And when Winnie the Pooh stopped, he didn't scream like all the other kids, you know, me, 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 me. He didn't know that note. When he grew up, he took the trash out with a smile. He obeyed, yes sir, yes ma'am. I mean, he was like doing everything right. And at the age 30, he became a preacher and he said, repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You're going the wrong way. Repent. And then at the age 33, he said, Father, treat me as if I'm Harvey. Give me everything that Harvey deserves. He said, but son, Jesus, that would kill you. The only payment for Harvey's sin is death. Eternal separation from me. He goes, Dad, I know, but I love Harvey so much. I don't want him to get what he deserves. So take all of his debt and charge it to my account. And it killed him. And they took him down from the cross and they buried him. And 3 days later, while he's in the grave, now you understand you can't see the real me. You can only see the body I'm living in. So this body of Jesus is laying in the grave, but the real Jesus stands before the Father and says, Father, is my death enough for Harvey? Or is there something else Harvey has to do? And the Father reached over, picked up his body from the grave and said, paid in full. And then he offered me a gift that I didn't deserve. And he came and knocked on my heart. And when he had my attention, he said, I'm offering you a gift. And that gift is eternal life. And it's through the blood of Jesus. Jesus died in your place. Do you believe who he is? You believe he's God in the flesh and he never sinned and that he died for your sin and was buried and rose again? Do you believe that? I go, yep. He said, would you like this gift of forgiveness and to come into my family? And I said, that's what I want. And I received that gift. I didn't deserve heaven. I don't deserve heaven. I deserve hell. But Jesus took what I deserve, and then he turned around and said, now, Father, I took what Harvey deserved, so I want you to now give Harvey everything that I deserve. So Father keeps treating me as if I'm Jesus. He treats me like I'm his own son. He keeps blessing me all the time. He listens to me. He takes care of me. He makes my way go easier. I pray and ask him, do this, do that, and I just notice my way going so smooth all the time. Now, it's only been 42 years. Maybe I'm going to find it a little different, you know, in the next 42. I don't know. But for the last 42 since I met him, it just keeps going smooth all the time. But I notice people all around me that don't know him or that don't follow him. I notice they keep having hard things in their life. And that's what I keep finding in his book, that hard things are going to happen because God's trying to get our attention. He's like, hey, you know, they told me I could be God today, so why don't we do it my way? Instead of trying to get me to bless your way, you know? So in John 1, I want us to notice, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And you know over in Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And in verse 3 it says, and the Lord said the word. The Lord said, let there be light, and there was light. See, that's why right here in verse 3 it says, all things were made by him. That's Jesus. He's the creator. And without him was not anything made that was made. In Jesus was life. Now you can exist without Jesus. I see people doing it all the time. They seem to me like walking dead. They don't have purpose. People tell me this all the time. I don't even know why I'm alive. I don't know what I'm doing. It's just same old, and everything just keeps going bad. And because in Jesus is life. He created us on purpose with a purpose. In Jesus was life. And the life was the light of men. You ever heard anybody say, I saw the light? One time I was witnessing to a guy when I worked in Madison Heights over by Detroit. And one of my coworkers took off running through the shop. I saw the light! I saw the... He didn't see the light, but he was mocking me. You know, running around saying that. Went and got the supervisor, brought him, and they stood about from here to that corner. And he kept going... I couldn't hear what they were saying, but I knew they were talking about me because they kept looking at me and pointing at me. And he was like animated really bad. But when you meet Jesus, it's like all of a sudden you start seeing things like you never saw before. All of a sudden life starts making sense. All of a sudden you're getting understanding you didn't get before. Because you entered into a whole new realm. You became alive spiritually. Before that you were alive physically. And you could only understand at this level. But when you enter into this, you understand because you get his wisdom and his knowledge and his understanding. And he starts opening it up. And it doesn't matter if you're a doctor of the law like Dr. Nick. It doesn't matter. And you've read the scripture, even God's word. I've met people read God's word, but they don't know God. I've read the Bible from cover to cover. And it's like, I start talking, they don't know God. It's a spiritual book. You have to start, Jesus said, by being born again. You have to start as a little baby being birthed into his family. That's how it starts. The Word is God. The Word is the Creator. The Word is life. That's why we read this Word. That's why we read it. When you read this book, it's like it gives life to you. It gives hope. It makes things make sense. It helps you understand. It gives you the keys to life as you go through it. It's like, but you have to be born again to even want this, because before that, you don't even want it. When you get born again, you become spiritually alive. And like I preach when I go to black churches, this is soul food. I said, soul food is not hog jowls, chitlins, black eyed peas, RC, and a moon pie. I said, this is the only thing that'll feed your soul. You gotta read the book. And it will make it strengthens you, it encourages you, it takes you, brings you closer, it brings you more into the light, more into his presence, more into the way going peaceably or smoother. Jesus is the Word. He is God. He is the Creator. He is life. He is light. He is the spoken Word. Now look at verse 10. He was in the world. So here he says, hey, I'm going to make myself in your image. He comes down here. He's in the world. And the world was made by him. But it said the world didn't know him. I meet people. You know, like I talk to so many people on the phone. And then like I go and I meet them somewhere and they go, now I know you. Or, you know, people will tell me on the phone, yeah, your worker told me about you and da 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 da. And I talk to you on the phone. But then when they meet me, they're like, now I know you. Well, you could know about God and not be born again. But when you are born again, it's because that's when you meet him. That's when your life starts. That's when you come to know him. So verse 10, he was in the world. Jesus was in the world. And the world was made by him, and yet the world did not know him. He came unto his own. He came unto his own people. He was born a Jew. The Jews were the chosen nation to reach the world with about God. They were supposed to be ministers of God to reach the world. Instead, they turned it into an inclusive club. You got to be like us and keep all these rules and dress like us and act like us. And he's like, no, you missed it. He's like, the whole world, they're messed up and you're not going out reaching them. You're trying to turn it into a little exclusive club. He said, that's not what it's about. So Jesus goes there to them. He came unto his own and his own received him not. They've rejected him. But the few, as many as did receive him, to them he gave power. He gave power to become a child of God. He gave them the right to become a child of God. He gave them the authority to be a child of God. And what did they do? Even to them that believe on his name. Jesus, I believe you are who the Bible says you are. You are God in the flesh. You never sinned. And you died on the cross for me. If there had been nobody else on the planet, you loved me enough to die just for me. And I believe you rose from the dead. Can't keep a good man down. I'm believing. I'm trusting on you, Jesus. See, a lot of people believe in Jesus. They've heard of him and they believe these things, but they don't believe on him. When you believe on him, he holds you up. You could believe in him and the chair doesn't hold me up. But when you believe on him, Jesus, I needed you to die for me. I can still remember when I met him. It was like there was nothing else going on in the world but me and God. And the two guys that I was praying with that were helping me to pray, I was not even aware of them. It was just like me and the Creator. And all I could do was bring Him my sin. And all He wanted to do was bring me forgiveness and a relationship. And it's like, I'll never forget. I met Him. I've never been able to quit talking to Him. It was so tremendous. It so impacted me that I haven't been able to quit talking about Him for one day for 42 years. I mean, here I am, a drug dealer, go home, $1,000 worth of PCP in my pocket, walking around going, hot dog and hallelujah. I didn't know the words to say, you know. I didn't know you're supposed to sit there like this. I'm a Christian. Okay, I didn't know that. Sorry, I'm only having fun. And the next day, I'm a door-to-door salesman, and I'm out. People are coming to the door, and I said, can't you know God's real? I go to church. I said, I ain't talking about church. I'm talking about Jesus. I just met Him last night. Of course, they closed the door and called the cops. And after about four or five of them called the cops, the cop pulls up. Come here, boy. What are you doing? So I told him about Jesus. I thought that's what he wanted to hear about, because that's what I was doing. So I told him about Jesus. And you know what the cop said? He said, it sounds like you got born again. I said, I think that's what they called it. I said, all I know is I met Jesus. And a call comes over the radio and says, have you found that boy yet? Three more people called that he's scared. Get him in jail. And he goes, 10-4. He said, son, I was sent down here to put you in jail. You're scaring everybody. I said, but I just met God. Why didn't they tell me I could meet God? Why they just tell me to go to church, stand, sit, kneel, sing, listen? You know, why? I said, all I got out of that was cold, dead, bored. I said, but I just met Jesus. He said, son, you need to calm down. I said, I don't know how to calm down. Do you want to go to jail? No, I don't want to go to jail. Go find a Christian. Tell him what happened and ask him if you could stay there for a few hours till you calm down. I did, but it didn't work. I stayed in that lady's house over 3 hours. I kept pacing through her. I'm telling her about Jesus. You know, she's already a Christian. I couldn't help it. I didn't know nothing. I just was a newborn. They probably hadn't even wiped me off yet. You know, I was only about 12 hours old. But I couldn't quit talking about Him. I've never been able to. I can't. One time I got mad at God. Because, you know, He had the audacity to do something I didn't want Him to do in my life. And allow me to lose my car and then lose my house. And I just, mad at you, and I'm not going to talk about you. And it didn't matter. I still couldn't quit talking about Him. One day, I said, I'm going to go drive 18-wheeler so I'm not around nobody because I don't want to talk to nobody. And I'm sitting up at the bar stool. I'm not drinking now. I'm not talking about it. I didn't go that far. But I was up there to eat at a truck stop, you know. I wasn't in a booth. I was up here. And there was a guy sitting around me. And all of a sudden, I became aware that I'm telling this guy about Jesus. And he ends up says, I want Jesus as my Savior. And he gets saved right in front of me, right? So I go out to the truck and I slam the door and I said, I'm mad at you. I told you I wasn't going to talk to nobody about you. How'd you get out of me? I can't even quit talking about Him when I'm mad at Him. Because I've never met anybody like the precious Jesus. He loves me 100% right now. He loved me when I didn't even like me. He loved me when I was doing everything wrong. I was breaking, you take the Ten Commandments, I was breaking every one of them. Every one of them. And I don't know if you noticed when she was playing that song, but at one point there was a guy kneeling on the ground, and it was kind of like a outline silhouette, kind of invisible, of Jesus standing there with His hands like this. That's what I saw when I met Him, and I got down on my knees, and I said, and the preacher said, God, Harvey wants to tell you something. Jesus Christ came walking in that room, just walking toward me like this. Like he wanted me. I didn't even want me, but he wanted me. And that's right when I was breaking all 10 commandments. He wanted me. He's never given up on me. He never gets disappointed in me. And I can prove it. You know why? Psalm 62:5. It says, my soul hope thou only in God, for my expectation is from him. God has no expectation. God only has desire. We get disappointed in people. We get disappointed in ourselves. Why? Because we put expectation on ourselves. As if we're better or our will is going to make it happen. It doesn't work. And then we put expectation in people. And people let us down all the time. And God said to me through that verse, he said, Harvey, I never get disappointed because I don't have any expectation. I only have desire. And if it takes you 10 years to take one little baby step forward, that's okay. He says, I'm not disappointed. He said, if you get mad at me and want to go drive trucking, I'm not disappointed. He said, you hurt me. He said, but I'm not disappointed. I just have desire. And he said, I'll just stand here in line while you put everything else in front of me. Because Harvey, I love you so much, I'm willing to wait in line until you're ready. Now, how can you not love somebody like that? He never gives up on me. How could you not love somebody like that? And he's always kind about it. He's not waiting in line like, you know, doing this. That's not Jesus. And when I mess up and I come to him and say, I did it again. And he goes, I said, will you forgive me? And he says, of course I will. I was just waiting for you to ask. He says, now let me clean you up. He says, first of all, I want you to know how precious you are. And he says, I understand. And he says, we're going to work on you. But we're going to work on that root issue of why you even did it. Not just forgive you and, you know, wash it away. I'm going to do that. I'm going to take away the guilt. And he said, why do you beat yourself up, Harv? He said, I was already beaten for you. Quit beating yourself up. I've never met anybody like that. Have you? Do you want this Jesus? Do you want this Savior? And then in verse 13 it says, which were born not of blood. Somebody doesn't get born again because we're in a certain family. It says, nor of the will of the flesh. Somebody doesn't wake up one morning and go, okay, I'm going to get born again today. It doesn't happen like that. It's God working inside of you. And it says, nor of the will of the flesh. It's not because I want you to get born again. I used to try and talk people into it or do whatever I could to get them born again. That didn't work. Because I wanted it so bad. When I first got saved, I used to grab guys by the throat and throw them up against the wall. You need to get saved. I can't help it. That's where I was at. I had to come to a place of realizing, hey, God's got to do this. You just got to let them know that you love Jesus and he loves them, and he died for them personally. That's what I ask people. We'll come to that. It says, so verse 13, which were born of God. You've got to be born of God working in you and doing a work where you say, here's my sin and here's the Savior. I don't want this anymore. I want him. But it's not you quitting. It's you saying, I just don't want it. Will you change my heart? Will you give me victory over this? And he says, if you turn to me, I'll start your life all over again. And then verse 14, and the word was made flesh and he dwelt among us. Look at verse 29. John the Baptist, the next day he saw Jesus walking and said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of Harvey. Behold the Lamb of God. He was the Lamb slain or killed for us. He was the Lamb that was sacrificed for us. And He did it willingly. I'll do that for Harvey. I want to end by saying this. We have a baptismal tank out there. And the reason we have a baptismal tank, I want you to watch this now because it's a picture. And God gave this to me a long time ago and said, share it with people. In Acts chapter 2, in verse 41, it says this. Then they that gladly received His word. See, right now I just got through preaching. By the way, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. It says, for the preaching of the cross, that's what I've just been preaching, preaching the cross, is to them that perish, those that are on, that are not on their way to heaven, those that are on their way to hell, the preaching of the cross, those that are cleaving unto hell, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, to them it's foolishness. The preaching of the cross is foolishness. But unto us which are saved, the preaching of the cross is the power of God. Verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, just like Nicodemus. He didn't know God, even though he had a whole lot of wisdom according to this world and knew things most people didn't know. It says, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom didn't know God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now look at Acts 2:41. I don't have time to read it, but if you start around verse 18 or so, the Apostle Peter starts preaching a sermon, and he preaches a sermon in Acts chapter 2. When he gets to verse 41, now he had just got through preaching about Jesus on the cross for them. And in verse 41 it says, now he's got a crowd in front of him of thousands of people. It says, then they that gladly received His word. In other words, they received the message of the preaching of the cross. Then they that gladly received His word were baptized. I'm going to explain that in a minute. But look at the rest of the verse. In the same day that they heard the preaching, there was added unto them the group of 120 people that were gathered together praying, and God got loose, and the whole city shows up, and God's like, hey, Peter, preach. And so he stands up, and he just starts preaching, and there's thousands of people. Then they that gladly received His word, those people got baptized, and were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That church went from 120 to 3,120 in one day. Now, watch baptism. This is important. Baptism is something that happens to people after they get born again. Why is that, Harv? I'm glad you asked. Good question. Because baptism, imagine this is water, like the cattle trough. Baptism, here's the water. Somebody walks into the water. What does it look like? Anybody? Cross. And then like a preacher like me says, are you trusting in Christ? Do you want Christ to be your Savior? Are you accepting what He did on the cross for you? And that person says yes. They don't have to say more than yes. But outwardly, they're presenting a message to everybody that's watching. That's why it's done publicly. You don't do it privately. Not in the Bible. But anyway. And then these are the words I say to people. I said, upon your public profession of Christ and in obedience to His command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus, buried, I take the person. Now, I want you to take your left hand. See, is that, how do I do it? You take your left hand. and you hold your nose. Okay, here, I'm just going to do it. Hold your nose with your left hand. Okay, and then what I do is I take them like this, I put them under the water and bring them back. And you know why? Because I say this, upon your public profession of faith in Christ, you're not ashamed of them. You're telling everybody, I trust in the death, burial, and resurrection. So watch. Upon your public profession of faith in Christ and in obedience to the Lord's command, I baptize you, my sister, because you now just became part of my family because I'm part of his family. So we become brother and sister. Before that, we're just friends. I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, buried in the likeness of his death, and I put you under the water all the way. You know why? Because when Jesus died, he was then buried. And 3 days later, he rose from the dead. So what you're saying to everybody without saying a word is, I believe, I publicly am not ashamed, I want to publicly declare with my life that I believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. That's what you're saying horizontally. You know what you're saying vertically to God? God, I want to die to my old ways, and I want to be raised to walk in your ways. I don't want my life anymore, me being in control and trying to do things the way of the world. I want to be raised. I want to live your way. Whatever that is, all I know is I want you. And that's what baptism is. And we've done that with tons of people, and tons of people through the years get baptized every year because tons of people come to meet Christ and accept him. And that's God's way. In the Bible, notice in Acts chapter 2, 41, Peter preaches, then those people that gladly received what he said, which was the preaching of the cross, they got baptized and were added into the church. Okay? Now, I've had people, all I know is, when we do things God's way, it's the very first act of obedience after salvation. It's the very first act of obedience after salvation. Baptism doesn't save you. Jesus saves you. Baptism doesn't get you into heaven. It doesn't wash away your sin. You'd go dunk in your tub if you thought that was going to work. Tell me how that works for you. Okay? Oops! I think I need something a little better than that. Yeah, I need the blood of Jesus. Because turn over to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 9:22. It says, let me know when you're there. And almost all things are by the law purged, cleansed, and blood. Remission, there is no removal, there is no forgiveness of sin. That's what remission is, talking about it being removed. In other words, it's, you remember Cain and Abel? Well, they both brought an offering to God. Cain said, well, I'm a farmer. I'll bring him some corn, and I'll bring him the best of my crops. And Abel kept sheep, and he brought him a sheep as an offering to God. And God accepted Abel's offering, but he didn't accept Cain's offering. And you said, but Cain gave him his best. Our best isn't good enough. If our best was good enough, we don't need Jesus. You see, sin is in our blood, and we live because of blood. So life is in the blood, the Bible says. And because of that, when we sin, God wants us to understand that we need blood to cover that sin. That they used to offer animals, and then Jesus, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. All those were pictures of Jesus coming. They did not wash away their sin. It's like it was rolled back until that time. Because you know when Jesus, I don't want to go into all this, but when Jesus died during those 3 days, he actually went to hell and preached to the people. And those that had accepted him, those that were in paradise, he took out of there and took them to heaven. The other ones, they didn't believe then any more than they believed before. Because that's what separates us from everybody on the planet. We are believers. They're unbelievers. They may believe in him, but they've never believed on him. Jesus, I needed you to die for me. It's my sin that killed you. Will you please forgive me? It's so simple. Children get it. But we as adults want to make it hard. We want to try to do something because it's pride. But Jesus is a kingdom of humility. Because there's two kingdoms, pride and humility. And we've all operated in the kingdom of pride most of our life. And it's like, I don't want that anymore. And it's not you quitting. It's you saying, I don't want it. And then that's why he says, I will come and give you my heart. And I will give you the power to live my way. He said, but you're going to mess up. He said, but every day you're going to get where you sin a little bit less than the day before. As you follow me, as you depend on me, as you trust in me, as you allow me to hold you, as you and I have fellowship. And it all starts with being born again, which is called a relationship. So, was this clear? Did anybody get this? Clear. So let me ask you to do something for a second. Do me a favor. Just close your eyes for a second. Let me ask you. Did you understand what was said today? Did you understand what was said today? Just raise your hand. I understood what was said. Now let me ask you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Have you been born again? Do you know him? If you have, raise your hand, would you? I know Jesus. I've trusted in him. Thank you. Good. I saw both those hands. Somebody back there waving both their arms. Would you like to be born again? Jesus, I want you as my Savior. I'd like to start my life all over again. But this time I'd like to start it over with you in charge. With you being my best friend. I want to value what you value. I want a change. I want you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. If that's your heart, come to me, talk to me, come to somebody in this room. But if you come to me, I'd be glad to talk with you and help you. Lord Jesus, you are the kindest person I've ever met. I just can't get over how awesome you are. And you're closer than my breath. You never leave me nor forsake me. You want a relationship so much you wanted to be called my daddy, our Father which art in heaven. Jesus, you saw my predicament and you said, let me lower myself so much that I'll become just like you, Harv. The only difference is I'll never sin. And the only reason I did that was so I could take your sin upon me and pay for it in full. Jesus, thank you that I can know you. Thank you for what you have made available to me. Thank you that you wanted me. Thank you that you pursued me. Now, if God's working in your heart right now, you may be uncomfortable. You may be, he's dealing with you. You're thinking, your mind's racing. Maybe you want to, I've heard of people wanting to run out of the room. And I understand that. Because when I understand that. But I want you to understand, that child being born from the mom's belly, It had to go from a transition of one world to another. And that's what being born again is. You're going in transition from one world to another. Just keep your eyes on Jesus and receive Christ. Receive Christ. He wants you. And He wants you to want Him. Thank you, Jesus. You are